Welcome to the Lesbo and the Bean universe. Lesbo and the Bean. LATB. Lat B. Where mixed martial arts and the UFC get silly. Big silly. Buckle up and move your tray tables to their upright position. And please, somebody shut that baby up. It's time for Lesbo and the Bean.
Welcome back. We're hitting it hard here. Is it episode 120 or 121? It doesn't even matter.
121.
Because we got more fights coming up this weekend. It is going to be one of those dreaded Sunday fun day cards. We are going to have a couple double debuts and dirty ass splits coming along the way. So, UFC Germany. Is it Ambilgia, Germany?
Is that handbag, Germany?
The exact times as well, I believe it is.
I haven't even looked down at the date.
But
GSP's from there, apparently.
Oh, yep, that's very true. Very
handbag, Germany.
Anything we caught up on? We were talking a bit about the Brennan stuff since our last recap. Any new information? There was a bunch of fighters talking about it. Quick Cyborg talking about Amanda Nunes calling her out and saying sign the document for 6 months from now. And Cyborg is not signing and saying, no, I don't care. I don't want to wait another year to fight. I want to fight right now. I want to get paid now. And Christiana Cyborg is talking about potentially moving on to another organization because she just wants to fight. She's in her prime. She knows it. And she's losing money. The more she sits out, the more money she loses, and it's a good point.
She's losing so much money. One good thing about Chris Cyborg is she can always go to Japan and fight in her 40s and still make a killing to fight
bums.
Yeah.
All day.
So she can least financially make that. But as far as the UFC is taking her prime from her right now, and I understand everyone's like, who is there for Chris Cyborg to fight? It's the UFC. Do some work. Come on.
Agreed.
Holly'd fight Chris again for the money. Yes. We've known Amanda she does every fight on her time. She's a champion too. It is what it is. I mean, if Amanda even comes close to touching Chris, she is the best ever. If she takes down Chris Cyborg, that's a big if. Because Chris Cyborg, I mean...
I agree.
I don't even know why I'm talking about it. Until it happens anymore, I'm not getting excited about fake fights. Until it's signed and talking, like, I don't want to hear about Khabib Connor, Noon Cyborg, Shevchenko Montano. Like, I don't think they're going to happen until I want to see them.
Too much speculation.
And even when they're signed and the poster's made, sometimes they don't happen.
Well, like, that's the thing Cyborg said as well.
Like, I think the biggest news going on in UFC is our boy Max Holloway having a mini stroke.
Allegedly. That is one of the rumors going around due to people breaking down his video and saying that his eyes were a little, one was more shut than the other, or...
Well, I don't know if that is all that is going on. I don't know if someone heard it from a more legitimate source.
Has there been any official confirmation or denial by Max on his Twitter since then? This is fairly breaking. It just popped up like an afternoon ago.
Honestly, I haven't heard from Max on Twitter in a bit.
He's laid off, but that also might prove as to the severity of what's going on because he's fallen out of 2-3 fights, championship bouts, due to weight-cutting issues and other circumstances that came about.
Were two of them short notice or just one?
They might have both been short notice as well.
7/11/18, I think, is his last
comment.
Yeah,
so this has been speculation amongst the MMA community. Supposedly Twitter doctors have confirmed that he had a mini stroke, but they're Twitter doctors. They could just be some douchebag 12-year-old with a fake account. Happens all the damn time. So we gotta keep monitoring that and see what happens. Hopefully it's not the end of Max Holloway. I want to see him go a long, long time. But
I think Max could be the GOAT. And I never say that. I never throw around that word. But if he were to stop now, it wouldn't happen.
Yep.
But I think the projection that I see for the kid, I don't want him to stay at 145 at all. He has the belt. Good enough, dude. Move up. You know what I think Max Holloway could do? He could be the first UFC fighter that gets a belt in three divisions. He has that kind of potential. He has that kind of size. Once I think if Max goes to 155 and works his way up in that division, he could get that belt. And an interesting part would be if the UFC added a 165 division in between.
Oh, totally. Tweener
division. We could see Cowboy make a run at that division in, you know, in the twilight of his career. There's a lot of guys that I would like to see at that weight.
I totally agree.
Yeah, I feel like we're way off the rails now. I just really am worried about Max Holloway, and I want him to do well. So I hope that that's not true, and I hope whatever's happening is figured out soon. Brendan Schaub did say stuff on Below the Belt to Dana White.
As far as Eskimo family stuff?
He never talked about that. He just talked about why he went off. And why he said the things he said. And Dana's a big old bully. And he's going to get old alone and die alone. He's like, when you don't do this job anymore, I can't wait to see what all the fighters come out and say about you. So there's a whole lot more. Brendan Schaub said some really good things. And blah, 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 blah. I'm over that story unless he said something about Eskimo Brothers.
Totally agree. Well, as far as the rest of the MMA community, we are moving right along because the week after this, we're going to have another fight card. They're going to be 6 days apart because of this Sunday card out of Hamburg. It's going to be 13 bouts. Again, having the dreaded double debuts, a lot of debut fighters. The research only went so deep because we got cards coming and going left and right now. And we're not going to heavily go into some fighters just because I didn't look at every amateur fight they ever had. So
you don't even owe him an explanation.
Yeah.
You don't even owe him that.
It's gonna be
not that we don't love you guys.
Agreed. But there is limited research.
You know
out
how
there
sometimes
some
we'll get stuck on Sarah McMahon for 15 minutes and then we'll talk about Frankie Edgar for 30 seconds. Weird shit could happen over here.
True. Starting from the bottom of the top though. This, you gotta
we'll
look at your local listings.
We'll have a full 10-minute conversation about what their nickname should be.
This is the truth. Very good point. Starting at the 135-pound division, though, in Germany, you gotta look at your local listings. It's gonna be on Fight Pass FS1. You're gonna have to get that VPN to get that code unblocked so you can watch it the whole
it
way
doesn't.
Through. Not worth it? The
VPNs aren't working great on Fight Pass. I think they've figured out it's hit and miss. And the second you, if you keep it on your phone, but if you try to blast it out to your television or put it on a bigger screen, it pops off.
True. And my Fight Pass runs shittily enough with a
landline
connected to it.
Not that I've ever even VPN'd. I've never even VPN'd. I don't even know
allegedly.
What that is.
But my Fight Pass, anytime there's about to be action, like last night on the Dana White Contender Series, right when there's a big skirmish or volley of strikes, lag, and I'm hardwired to that connection, so a VPN only makes it so much worse, so I don't even know why I was bringing that song going up. Dana White Contender Series, fun young people we're seeing coming in with the evolution of the sport. May seem Barber look like a little phenom at 20 years.
Macy the future Barber?
Someone here
put
I might be looking
put that.
At.
We're going to be shining on Macy the future Barber later on. So if you didn't watch that, go back and find that. Google it. Google that fight.
Right. And was it Domingo Peralta, whatever, dude that got half of his face falling off by the end of that bout? Great adversity. Huge guy for the 135 division. And I really am excited for the contenders. They're getting top quality prospects and really putting them in there. It's, I would say Macy, as I said, quoted last night, Macy Barber is a real Sage Northcutt. It's what Sage Northcutt was supposed to be. That's what the composure she showed in there with a lifelong of
I didn't
fighting.
Think Sage Northcutt at all. I didn't even put the
I just think what
together.
He was supposed to, like, he was supposed to run through everyone and has now started to decision people other than his last knockout, but she looks like she can finish, she's ready to finish you at all times. She was in there with a veteran, and at the end of the third round, finally ruined her with elbows. Herb Dean, also in there, getting in there, was there an early stoppage, a late stoppage? The lights went out. There was such a boring fight that the lights actually went out at one point in time during that Dana White Contender Series. That was the only harsh thing I got to say to it. But highlighted was the bantamweights at a point in time yesterday. And that's where we're going to start in Germany. We got to get to this breakdown. We've beaten around the bush too much.
Yeah, I thought we were about to, and then...
Back at it. Yeah. Back at it. We're starting off with Damon Stasiak coming in against Ping, debuting Liu? 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 I don't know how to pronounce an I.
Liu?
In Chinese. But the debuting 13-4 fighter is coming out of the Asian Circuit Endo Gaudi team. He has 13 fights, 4 are losses. And he tends to get it done in there. TKO tends to be a striker. I don't know what the specific art style of striking, but it's more karate-esque, Chinese, karate or whatever they got over there. Stasiak, we know what we're getting with. He's 10-5. Been in the UFC for a little while now, losing to Brian Kelleher as of late. Also losing to Pedro Munhoz. But he's gotten a couple wins in there. One against Davy Grant. Another one. Felipe Peixe. Stasiak's gas tank can be worn down with body shots. His head movement as well isn't the best, but if he gets it to the ground, Stasiak really, really shines on the ground. Rolls really well with people's backs, gets a lot of ground control. It's just that gas tank at times. His striking is coming along. He's not an elite striker by any means. He doesn't have much power in his striking as well, and really that limited head movement is the scariest thing against Louis. Does he have a nickname? No. Liu?
I think it's just Liu.
Liu? Yeah. Is going to try to keep it
standing. You know we'll be wrong, and then, yeah, someone we'll will bitch about it. Or if he kills it, we'll remember his name forever.
So, the long veteran Stasiak here, I do think can get it to the ground. The takedown defense we've seen from Liu wasn't the best against limited competition, where we have Stasiak losing to top contenders in Pedro and Kelleher. I definitely think that once it gets to the ground, it's going to be a very one-sided fight, if not a finish for Stasiak. I am going to lean Stasiak this way. Might put him on a couple DraftKings. This is the first fight of the night. Might end up just staying away from it. That tends to be how we like to do it here. What do you think goes down in this fight?
I have Stasiak decision. When I look through all the guys that Lou's beaten, I have the same record as some of them, where they've fought one fight and they've won none. So, I'm going to go with Stasiak's experience. He's fought a lot of hard guys in there, and the guys he's losing to aren't schlubs. And then I have no idea what the DraftKings will be, but I'm guessing if it's as heavy favorited as everybody looks like on Tapology.
8,200 Damon Stasiak against 8,000.
They see what I see.
Barely. That's not far. I would think Stasiak would be a more decided favorite there. I guess people are really liking that striking. We're going to see if it transfers over into the UFC. Moving on to the 205ers, though, we have Jeremy Kimble against debuting Drako Stosic. Stosic is coming in with a 12-1 record fighting out of Serbia. He's had a few decisions, some knockouts in there against fighters with pretty good records as well. We know those Eastern European guys tend to come in and not always do the worst. At 26 years old, Drako is definitely heavily built at 205-pound division. Jeremy Kimball, though, is one of those guys that is a karate guy, has really fun in-and-out movement, but has that pudge. Every time we see it, we're like, man, that guy looks like a 185er that doesn't work hard. And Kimball has said that he's the 95er potentially, but it's one of those reasons why we need that middle division. Because 85 is just enough, and it's such a big gap. Kimball, though, the rough thing is that he gives away a lot of power when he moves up to 205, and we've seen him be hurt in the few times he's gotten that he's lost in the UFC. It's because he usually gets hurt and then gives up a submission, which he tends to be a submission guy. And the knockouts do come because it doesn't matter. You're just giving up that amount of natural size of guys who cut down from 220 when you're a buck 95 or moving up, essentially. in this position, I like to put a lot of money on Kimball most of the time, and it's come up short, and I'm going to go with the Russian getting in there, if not winning the wrestling position, landing an overhand right, and just being able to wear it a bit more. Kimball has fun striking movement in there, but hasn't really hurt anyone, especially in these heavier divisions. His cardio as well can be, he's a little susceptible to body shots. I'm going to go with the debuter here. Going to be tentative on this fight as well, but I got Draco to win via second round knockout. How do you feel this one goes down?
Really, this is a shot in the dark that I'm going to go with the Serbian and also pick Stosic KO round two over Jeremy Kimball. Maybe round one. I'm not going to put it too many places at all. And this is really that I don't have a lot of love for Kimball going into this fight, more than I'm showing any kind of favoritism for the newbie. So I will not have it on too many cards.
So 9,300 for the debuting Draco against Kimball's 6'9". Do you see a decision happening here, or a finish potentially?
Finish.
I see a finish as well. I think a lot of people are seeing that. And I'm gonna be tentative on Draco because Kimball has real skills in there. Again, I think he's one of the few cases where not cutting weight might be impeding his performances a little bit. On to the bantamweights, 135-pound division highlighted again with Manny Bermudez against Davy Grant. Davy Grant's taking a little bit of a hiatus, being 8-3 over a year, 9 months ago, losing to Stasiak via armbar. Davy Grant tends to be a ground fighter, usually gets a lot of takedowns in his fights against Manny, the Triangle Bermudez. I gave him that nickname, the Bermudez Triangle. I believe we gave him that name here at Latby a long time ago.
I don't know. Yeah. I can't take any credit for it. If it came out, it was all you, because that's clever.
I believe Lesbo specifically. I'm gonna give him the rub. This was an Orlando fight. We watched this.
See, I was giving you full credit, and you were gonna give it to me, and I don't remember it. Oh, shit, I'm so far away from the mic. I was all relaxed. I don't remember doing any of that.
Do you remember Bermudez fighting in Orlando?
Yes.
We saw this young man, and he ended up winning that via submission. He also likes to go to the ground and really make his money there on the ground. Very long, good gas tank, tough. The reason Bermudez is tough is because you always see him get hit in there. His head movement is a bit lacking, though. Him being 24 years old, he's evolving much, much more than the 32-year-old Grant, who also has limited striking, limited power, and on the ground, where he usually beats guys, he started to get submitted, not even as of late, because he's been out for due to injuries. Bermudez being the young up-and-comer, he definitely is 12-0, has a lot more momentum on his side, and a lot of people, I feel like, are seeing the same thing I am. Once it gets to the ground, striking, it's going to be fairly even. If not, Bermudez is going to be growing so much, I think he could beat Grant striking. And on the ground, Bermudez is also better. I got Bermudez submission round number one, if not two. If Stasiak, who's opening the night off, can beat you via armbar, Bermudez is better on the ground than Stasiak. And we've seen that a few times with his bell rung.
I don't have so much to add to it, because I think that's also a prop bet that you can make, because I also have Bermudez submission round one.
Nice.
I have a lot of faith in this kid going forward. I think he's one to watch in the UFC, and I almost feel like this is a feeder fight.
I totally agree. This is a potential fight to help pad that record a bit more. Bermudez versus Grant on DraftKings. Bermudez, 9,200 against Davy Grant, 7,000. Lopsided fights we have all over the odds as well. Quickly, we do have the odds out actually as well. Bermudez, -245 against +205 Davy Grant. Stasiak is an even -105 against -115 against Lou. And Kimball versus Draco. Draco, -275 against Kimball's +235. So heavy favorites. Gonna be hard. You're gonna have to put a couple parlays together if you are making some of those bets.
But if you pick the round and you pick just how prop it happens, on its own, yeah, that's prop a good it point. On its own. You and usually when we agree on the way that it finishes,
it's a good call.
There's a little bit of money call. To be made.
On to the big boys, 200 and Whoa, 5 pounds. Actually, not the big boys. Ledette debuted at heavyweight, piecing apart Chase Sherman, coming in with a 9-0 record, coming off of a 3-fight winning streak. He has actually popped for, I believe, weed and steroids, coming in with some of the worst hair. He had a burnt waterfall on it at one point in time, and he liked my tweet, so I always gotta give him props. I like Ledette, fun guy. Some of the best boxing you see in MMA in general. Was a pro boxer, undefeated as a pro boxer, and really showed it in every one of his heavyweight fights. He's actually submitted a few guys now, on the ground via rear naked choke, and those chokes and submissions come is because guys are like, I'm gonna go to the ground at any cost because I don't want to keep boxing with this guy. Ledette's jab as well, highlighted here many, many times. One of the better jabs in there. He really throws it with knockout power. Really throws guys' heads back, and it sets up his entire game plan. Also, great lateral movement against Alec Rakic. Rakic being a 9-1, 26-year-old, 205er, has only one loss. He's mainly gotten knockouts against opponents who are 5-1, 4-2, and 19-5 as of late, beating Francimar Barroso in the UFC 10 months ago. You know how we feel about Barroso out here. The gross Barroso, as we like to call him. And he eked out a decision somewhat. Limited head movement. Gas tank was really, really bad. Uses wrestling, but I like the Ledette's wrestling here. If you haven't heard what way I'm leaning, I got Ledette everywhere. Everywhere. I got a TKO round number 3. Ledette is that kill you by a thousand cuts, but he's big enough to be able to also land that one hitter quitter when needed. Smart fighter in there. Loving Ledette everywhere here. How do you feel this one goes down?
I like Ledette. I'm not as high on him because usually when it gets to the decision, he can lose a decision by just slight mistakes, and at the end of each round he can just toss rounds away. I'm picking Ledette. I'm hoping all of that's cleaned up. I like him better at 205. This other guy doesn't have the experience at all. And it might be the first time I've gone with Ledette.
So the really interesting thing here is that we were preaching on against Ivanov versus Dos Santos, where he's a 205er who just, and like Roy Nelson, who made a career at heavyweight because there wasn't enough people. Is Ledette in that boat? Does he give away his speed advantage when he goes to 205? Because it dramatically increases.
It might be something like that.
And I'm heavy on Ledette. 8,300 on DraftKings against the 7-9 for Rakic. Interesting bout. I might hold off. I'll probably put Ledette on 60, if not 65% of my DraftKings cards.
I like him. I just don't think he's going to get a lot of points. I do like him for the win. He doesn't have a lot of volume.
That's a good call. Minus 125 for Ledette against the plus 105. Rickick?
It should be a little better than that for Ledette. He should have higher odds.
I agree. I think he should be a little more sided favorite. Maybe a minus 185.
Yeah, something.
Something like that. Moving on to the 145-pound division, we have a double debut. Dreaded double debut. Triple D's. Running up in this bitch. We got Nad Ninamani versus Khalid Taha. Or Ta, I believe I've heard it pronounced. Ninamari coming out of the Cage Warriors organization, beating Paddy Pimblett, 10-2 fighter, coming in against Taha's 12-1 record, only having one loss via submission 6 months ago, but has already redeemed himself, rear naked choke submission 2 months ago, coming out of Germany. He's going to be the local fighting the Englishman. Ninamari, I watched that Paddy Pimblett fight. It was a tough fight. A lot of people are calling for Paddy to be in here, but there's holes in both of these guys' games, and it is that they are both. Ninamani is very hittable. Gas tank can suffer a little bit. He does eat a lot of shots, wears them well, and has good fight IQ. Can throw a good takedown in there when he needs to. Khalid Taha being 12-1. The opponents that he's been fighting are 10-2. What are some of these other guys? They're 8-5-2, 23-13. But they're regional guys out of Germany. Not a lot of movement out there. I don't recognize too many of the names. I like Nemani a little bit more than Taha, just because the experience. Cage Warriors does have a bit higher caliber over in that European scene. And what I saw wrestling-wise, I do think that Nemari has a clear path on the ground to be able to hold position. Taha can get put on his back and just stuck there. Also, the gas tank can be lacking a little bit. I'm going to stay so far away from this fight because they are both debuting guys with such limited experience. I'm just going to sit back, relax, and watch this one. But I am going to go into Nemari decision. Tentative. If anywhere, I'm going to say stay away. What do you got in this one?
I really don't know enough about either fighter is why I'm going to stay far away from this fight. I also have a Nariamani decision, but I'm really just hanging out with the crowd.
9,100 for Nindamani. Nindamari against Taha's 7,100. Yeah, that line seems super, super steep. Super steep.
I don't know. Maybe the guy's
maybe
a
they know
slayer.
Something we don't know.
Yeah, maybe he's a slayer.
We will see. Welterweight division. We have Emil Weber Meek against debuting Bastoso Fibonacci. Actually, not debuting. He's just been out of the game for so long. He's been away for 2 years, 7 months, beating Hector Urbina in a decision. And also Jareth McClendon over 3 years ago. The 13-2 fighter, Fabinski, is 32 years old. He likes to keep it standing, really sets a low pace in there, doesn't really go in for the kill shot, has serviceable wrestling, but 2 years, 7 months away from the sport is a huge time, especially in the days we're living in. And if we just don't know what's going on with him. If he looks like he did against the limited competition that we now have seen, Urbina and McClendon didn't make it far in the UFC at all, and he barely beat those guys with decisions. Meek coming in off of his third loss ever, 9-3, losing to Usman in a decision, which is an defeat in itself. And I think actually the amount of growth that he's going to have in that loss, I believe Meek has been training stateside, coming out of Norway. He's been over here ever since that loss, and the growth just from what we have over 6 months ago. Meek is serviceable on the ground, striking, he has a little bit more power, is getting better striking. I'm gonna go with Meek TKO round number two. It's just the time away for the 32-year-old Fabinski. I'm gonna put Meek on some spots, not everywhere. How do you feel this one goes down?
I think Meek could finish the fight. I also have him to decision, but I really, the best thing any of the guys have, either guy has done, is that Meek lost and did go to decision with Kamaru Usman, who we think will be wearing the strap one day. So I agree with you. I think he's probably grown a ton since that fight, and I like everything Emil Meek is doing right now. If this is an entertainment sport, and he is such a perfect character, and he plays it so well. I like this Viking. I like the look. I like how he fights. He's exciting in there. It wasn't very exciting that Kamaru Usman took him down the whole time, so it was like a real stifling of his style of fight. So it'll be fun to watch him go in there, and I don't think he's going to get taken down like that, you know, like...
Yep.
Kamaru Usman,
yeah, it's
down.
Just not there for Bianski.
So I will have Emil Meek on a bunch of cards, I think.
Meek, 8,400 against 7,800 for Fabinski.
I could see a mid-finish.
I was going to move to a submission round number two, the more I was feeling it. On to...
I see a dirty elbow.
Changing the whole game plan of that fight for Fabinski. To the main preliminary fight, we have Nick Hine coming in against Demir Hadzevic. Hadzevic being 11-4 against the 14-3 Hine. Hine is one of these guys who tends to fight overseas. I believe he's fought in Germany for most of his fights, and the juice must be flowing if you know what I'm talking about in Germany, because he's a muscle shark. He reminds me of the muscle shark. I'm like, the body type, the style, he's just shredded from head to toe, gets in there, the longtime judoka, 34 years old, likes to use his judo in there, and actually really implements his striking fairly well, has some okay leg kicks, doesn't really go to him much, really keeps it, uses his judo in reverse
to keep it striking on the ground. He uses it more as a stifling than trying to submit people. Coming off of a lost submission to Davy Ramos, Ramos is definitely a very high caliber judo or jiu-jitsu fighter who was able to exploit Hines' ground game a bit. Hadzovic, not going to be that guy. Tends to be a striker heavy. He has holes in his game where Alan Patrick really ended up using his wrestling to take down Hadzovic the whole time, not let him up and strike, because Hadzovic's striking, what we saw in his debut against Marcin Held, is he can be losing a fight via takedown and always land that knee. He has great timing, tons of power in all of his limbs. He's shredded from head to toe. The 31-year-old, I like a lot because I always like that puncher's chance, and he has a very explosive fast twitch muscle in there. And we've seen him losing a fight with Held. Held, we haven't seen be UFC caliber. And the fact that you're losing a fight to Held means that there's a direct path. Alan Patrick showed it. Heim can do that. Heim can do all of that exact same stuff and make it a boring, boring decision.
That is what I was thinking the whole thing about this fight. It's might be the boring fight of the night, which is weird.
And that's because Heim makes it a boring fight more than anything. I think it's going to be a pitter-patter more than anything. I'm going to actually go with the underdog to end up winning here. I know I got a big underdog. I like Hadzovic. I like where he's going with this. I know what we get with Heim. He doesn't change his game plan. It's the same Heim, and I think Hadzovic can come in here, especially after that wrestling clinic. He's going to get his feet under him. Big underdog for me. Who do you got by the end of the night on this one?
I think Hein does the same game plan as everybody who seems to beat Hadzovic does and just wrestle grinds the shit out of him. And it might be a really boring fight, a really boring decision. And that's all I have to say about that. I don't know if it'll be high scoring either any way you cut it, and I'm going to stay far away from it.
Hein, 8,500 on DraftKings against the 7,700. In Hadzovic. Hadzovic also the bigger underdog, plus 150 against the minus 170 Hein. So money, but it is a puncher's chance. I got to learn to stay away from some of those where I'm like, his only shots to win is by a punch.
But it's your it's your dog or pass play.
It is my dog or pass play as of now. Totally, totally, totally. On to the main card. You got to switch it over to FS1. We have David Zawad
and Julia Roberts' brother
against Danny the Hot Chocolate himself, Roberts. I think they might be cousins.
No, I think they're related. I think they're siblings. Julia Roberts is an older sibling. Little MMA trivia. Take that to your friends this week.
Look it up.
Pretty Woman. Danny Roberts is related to Julia Roberts.
David Zawad debuting in the UFC and the main card, starting off against Danny Roberts. Danny Roberts last coming in off of a win 15-3 against Oliver Enkamp, TKO losing prior to that to Nordin Taleb, also losing to Mike Perry in there. The Taleb fight always has to have you a little bit scared because Taleb started coming to his own a little bit more as of late. Enkamp, can't really tell. He was a semi-prospect, but Roberts has really shown that his striking is what makes him his money. Has power in that right hand, switches stance well. His gas tank has been an issue. Gotten that under him. It's just that chin. Against a heavy puncher, he can get put on his butt even to this day, but he does not have to worry about that. Against the KSW debuter, he does have a few knockouts in there against 8-4 type of opponents, but last winning via rear naked choke 3 months ago, getting some decisions. The level of caliber again at KSW is high, but it's nowhere near Danny Roberts' longtime standing career in the UFC. The only way Zawad wins this is a via decision. The head movement is a little limited. Gas tank can be worn on a bit. Roberts has already passed those tests. If he hasn't passed those tests, he showed that he can gain where he's deficient. I got Roberts everywhere here. Kind of think there's a setup fight for Roberts. He, like the Enkamp fight, it was kind of set up. I don't know if we can call him a prospect, but he can definitely win this fight. I got Roberts for the TKO round number 2. Think he softens him up, finishes it in the second round for the Hot Chocolate. Who do you have in here?
I really like Danny Roberts, but anytime a guy has power in his hands at all, he will go to sleep. He does not like to stand up and fight, and I think this is going to be a stand-up fight. I think he may get knocked out, and it seems to be every other fight for him that he gets knocked out. I have Zawada KO round two.
Woo! Humongous underdog for Lesbo. Are you going to play Sawada on DraftKings for $6,800?
Yes.
Against $9,400 for Roberts. A lot of people see the finish coming in on Roberts. I'm on one of those bandwagons. So, going against the grain, Lesbo. Big odds. Let's see what we got on those.
I might 50-50 them, but I just don't. No, I won't. I will have Sawada on a few cards and Roberts maybe on one or two, because I just don't think he should be the most expensive fighter of the night.
Roberts is also going to be the biggest favorite of the night, minus 380 against plus 315, 4-1 essentially, for Danny Roberts. That might be a little inflated, definitely a little inflated. I like what you're saying there. Dogger pass as far as a Lesbo on that position. Then we get into the barn burner, 155 pounds. We got Mark Dykesi coming in against Nazrat Hapkaras. Nazrat, nipple game, super strong. You know me. I like to always highlight.
You do.
The atrocious nipple game of Hapkaras. Baby gassed as well.
They're not the worst, though.
They're not even close. They're up there. I don't know why. They're up there. Dykesi coming in 12-2, only two losses in the UFC to the Hangman via 6 months ago via submission. Prior to that, also lost a close split decision, too close. And there's a path of victory in the wrestling, in the striking even against Dykesi. Dykesi is very powerful and tends to blitz people, but what we've seen in a few fighters is if you get out of that first round, the gas tank diminishes dramatically. The IQ diminishes a bit too there, and there is definitely grinding positions against this fighter. Hapkaras, been at Black House for a little while. The 22-year-old has definitely lost his debut against Marcin Held in a decision. 8-2, was supposed to be a knockout guy, wasn't able to get Held out of there. And a lot of people aren't liking that decision to Held. It is pretty Held barely is making it in the UFC. They're both up and comers, both coming up. This is for Dykesi. This is Lever Lives Home or Loser Leaves Town. Well, maybe not for Hapkaras, but this is definitely Dykesi's got to come through on this one. He is the more dynamic striker than Hapkaras, but Hapkaras has power in his right hand and some good counter-striking. Wrestling-wise, neither of these guys are going to take it to the ground. Hapkaras will shoot more than likely, more than Dykesi. Dykesi's going to want to keep it striking, and that is it. It has some good spinning kicks to the body as well. I just can't trust that gas tank at all. I'm actually going to stay away from this one, sit back and enjoy. I'm going to go with Hapkaras decision. I don't like that gas tank on Dykesi. I'm going to stay away from this one. Sit back and enjoy. Who do you have?
I like both fighters, and I think both fighters actually stay in the UFC regardless of what happens. Just because they both are young and from, one's from Germany, one's from England. So those are like markets the UFC is, you know, needs some guys in. I think Dykesi pulls it out. I think both guys fought regionally in the same scene for enough time for people to really know, and I'm trusting the odds here. I think he can sneak out the decision. I am giving Haas per... What's it?
Nazrat.
I'm giving him credit because he looks like Gastelum. But other than that, he hasn't done anything really great, in my opinion. So I'm going to finally give the shine to Dykesi, and I never have before. It'll be the first time I've gone with the guy. Dykesi decision.
I may be backtracking on myself as well here. Hapkaras against Marcin Held was short notice, but the takedowns, if Held is able to take you down solidly, but that's not going to matter in this fight, and Dykesi is the better striker. All right, I'm going to go decision Dykesi. I'm still going to be off of it. I'm still not going to play it heavily. 8,900 Dykesi against 7,300 for Hapkaras. Nazrat. I'll put Dicassie on a few. Hap, maybe on two or three, but maybe just stay away from this one. On to another gross fight. We have heavyweights. Stefan Skyscraper Struff against Macklin Tubura. Both of these fighters coming in with a two-fight losing streak, 16-4. Martin is 2 years older at 32 years old and lost to Derek Lewis. Prior to that, also lost to Fabricio Werdum in a decision. The decision of Werdum is probably his most telling fight. What I didn't like in that Derek Lewis fight was the gas tank for Tubura. Well, the gas tank is much the accumulation of shots. He was just, Tubura allows fighters to hit him because he has that Homer Simpson defense where he's like, hit me with everything you got, eventually you'll get tired, and I will keep striking and beat you by 1,000 cuts. Not when you're fighting heavy punchers like Derek Lewis. Struve, sometimes he has that power, sometimes he doesn't. Knocked out Miocic as well, guy who's notoriously a bit harder to knock out. And
not a good time to say that.
Yeah, right. Against DC. But as of late, the two-fight losing streak to Alexander Volkov, TKO 10 months ago, and then Andrei Arlovsky decision. Those two are fairly gross, especially that Arlovsky split. There's just so many issues with Stefan Struve. Mentally, he's fallen out because of panic attacks. He's already gotten medically unfit because he's got gigantism. Just a big guy. His size has really carried him forward for a long, long time. And on the ground, he can definitely eat Tubura apart. But if Werdum, who never really took it to the ground, didn't submit Tubura, it's going to be a bit harder for Struve. I don't know who the bigger punching bag is here, honestly. Like, when you got two punching bags in, who wins? Struve got good knees because he's so tall. He can really hurt people with an inside short knee. But he lives his head straight up as well. It's whoever lands first, or we get one of the most boring fights of the night. I'm going to end up going with Tubura by decision. Wow. And I'm going to stay away from this so much. This is a disgusting fight for me. Who do you have in this one?
The best thing that either guy's done to me of late is that Marcin Tubura went to decision with Werdum.
Yep.
And I think Marcin could find Struve's chin. At this point, it is painful for me to watch Stefan Struve fight.
Mm-hmm.
It is painful. It isn't even because I'm worried that he's going to get knocked out. It's like his body physically actually hurts me to watch him fight. It looks like it's painful for him to throw kicks. It just doesn't seem right in there for him to be doing it to himself. He's probably a pretty well-paid guy because of his size and because mm-hmm. he's so grandfathered in that he's just going to collect checks as long as they need to. It's perfect to put on a filler of this card. I don't know what he's doing there anymore. I think Marcin's young enough. I think he can find that chin, knock him out. So I got Tubura, KO, round two.
Tubura, 9,000 on DraftKings against Stefan Struve. 7,200. A lot of people seeing it go that way. Also decided favorite.
But I do think, like, you could have Struve as your underdog pick, because even if it goes to decision and he loses, they'll throw a similar amount of punches. I don't think either is a money play unless there's a knockout. So there, it's almost a dog or a pass. Even though I see a knockout coming, I'm only like 30% or 40% sure of it. You know, it's a weird one.
So, Tubura is minus 240, almost 3-1 odds. Close. A lot of people see it going that way, and I think it's Stefan Struve is own worst. He's his own worst enemy than anything in there. Moving on to a really gross fight as well. We're gonna be in the grossness. Vitor Miranda, 185 pounds against Abu, debuting Azir. Azir is coming out of the World Series of Fighting, 13-2. He has a few wins in there via decision, a couple knockouts. Miranda is 12-6, losing to Vittori in a decision, also losing to Chris Camozzi in a decision, beating a few guys that have already been out of the UFC. I believe up at 205 Miranda was for a long time. Miranda definitely the known striker in here. That's where he really likes to you're not going to see a shot from here. If you do see a shot from Miranda, it's desperation. It's because he usually gets hurt. He bends at the waist and moves forward. Clinch game, not that great as well. Really likes to be more of a Muay Thai striker in there. And the thing that sucks with Miranda is that he has all the technical ability to be able to get anybody out of there. It's just that he has no chin at all. You cannot trust Miranda's chin. He gets hit with light shots and they affect him like Stefan Struve, where the light is shot and you're like, oh man, he's all wobbly. That looked like it was a jab.
He is 40.
Yeah, and it's not a good 40. He's been in professional combative sports for a very, very long time. A lot of people see the debuter coming in and actually getting a knockout or a decision. I'm going to give the younger man, 32-year-old Abu, the win here. Not a better striker, but he can take it to the ground if he needs to. If Chris Camozzi can beat you striking or on the ground, Abu can get it there. A little bit better of a wrestler, but going to be tentative as far as this one as well. Got Abu decision, if not TKO round number one. And it's all that, it's Abu, or it's just like Struve, can't bet on Miranda anywhere. So I'm in the same position as I was the first one, or the other one prior to that. Who do you have in this fight?
I have Miranda decision, and I actually think he can finish it. I think Camozzi and Vittori are far better than Abu Azitar, and the fact that he made it to decision with both those fighters, and I think they probably have heavier hands. Camozzi maybe not, but Vittori has okay heavy hands. I'm not that I'm not worried about his chin. I just think he has enough skill set, and he's one of these older guys. And another thing, I'm just throwing it out there. Brazilian fighter, fighting over in Germany.
Good call.
Probably juice to the tits. I'm going to go with Miranda decision over Abu.
Fun one. You have a fairly good size underdog there as well. 8,800 for Abu against Miranda. 7,400 betting lines as well. It is Abu minus 190 against the plus 160. You got a couple guys to put in on a parlay there. Triple them up, underdogs. Makes them cash.
Good, I need to. I need to save up for that Eddie Alvarez, Dustin Poirier 2 card.
Ooh, that does seem like a fun one.
What is that, 228? No, 227? I don't know. We are not there. Let's just stay on this fun card.
On to the co-main event.
I ain't a hater.
The co-main event in Hamburg is Glover Teixeira versus Corey Anderson. Sketchy ass chins on highlight this mid-morning card on a Sunday. You're gonna see some TBI.
You're gonna see knockouts on a Sunday.
Definitely. Glover Teixeira being a title contender, losing to the likes of John Jones and Gustafsson, also Anthony Johnson in there, but his beat everyone else he should be able to beat, even people he shouldn't. Came in as an underdog against Misha Shurkunov, who has no chin. Knocked him out. Glover Teixeira also pieced up Cannonier, who's finally a prospect in there as well. Teixeira's boxing is really good. Black belt jiu-jitsu on the ground. Teixeira doesn't go to the ground much because he has so much confidence in his striking. A good counter-striker with tons of power. Little bit older in his career at 38 years old as well. People have said that he's chinny.
Wow, this is the old man run.
Right? People have said he's a bit chinny, but he was a bit chinny against Anthony Rumble Johnson. like, a lot of people are chinny against Anthony. Against Gustafsson and Cannonier.
Anthony Johnson has a weird face to me.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. He looks like a alien.
He looks like he has collagen in his face. Like, he almost could, like, he is going to be on RuPaul's Drag Race.
I bet there's a many surgeries that have gone on in that fight. The other side of the fight, though, we have Corey Anderson being 10-4 coming off of a win against Pat Cummings, where both of those sketchy-ass chins were on profile. Corey Anderson has been, is he 24-7? Oh, he's overtime now. He used to be 23 Easton or 24-7 Easton or something crazy like that. Either way, overtime now. Really showed his gas tank in wrestling. I thought Cummings was going to win the wrestling advantage there, and Corey Anderson came in and showed a great gas tank, good shots, good takedowns, good pressure up against the fence, and just really mauled a failing Pat Cummings. Glover Teixeira, great counter wrestling. the real people that have only been able to out-wrestle him has been John Jones. That's really it. So that's pretty high credentials in my eyes. Gas Tank has also shown well. We have started to see Teixeira fade a little bit later in the rounds now, but it's that Easton chin, Corey Anderson's overtime's chin. Can't trust that to save your life anywhere. He stiffens up night-night quickly against one of your favorite fighters, Jimmy Manuel, who you like to think is a little...
overrated. He did find that shot, though.
Quickly.
That was his... That's Jimmy Manuel's highlight of his whole career.
I would agree with that. But we also know Pat Cummings, the last fight for Eastman, coming off a 2-fight losing streak, also fairly pillow-fisted. So Glover Teixeira's got power for days compared to Cummings. I got Teixeira TKO round number one. I'm going to have him in a lot of spots. Who do you have in this fight?
I'm going the other way. I'm going with another underdog. I have Corey Anderson, and I think he's going to knock out Glover Teixeira. If Alexander Gustafsson can knock you out, so can Corey Anderson. I'm not really impressed with... I did like Misha Cirkunov, and I think any guy at this weight can find the other guy's chin. That is not to be said. And 6 months ago, Glover looked amazing. I do not think lightning strikes twice for him. I thought he was donezo. I didn't think he was going to be fighting anymore. He came out and won that fight. I was super surprised. But then he beat James Cannonier by a decision. That's equally as impressive as beating Pat Cummings by a decision. And then he lost to Anthony Johnson. I thought that was a faded Anthony Johnson that I was over. I thought Anthony Johnson was overrated at that point of Anthony Johnson. I was over that Anthony Johnson. And then he beat Rashad Evans. True. I'll let the silence sit there. So I think that everybody's really overlooking Corey Anderson here. I think I see that he, you know, Teixeira is a super favorited. I don't think it should be that favorited. I think it should be closer than that. I got Corey Anderson, KO round two.
Wow. Glover Teixeira, 8,600 against 7,600 for Anderson. Fun one. Would you, I mean, it's money line wise, you got to be all over Anderson there. But if you have Anderson winning, the actual money line is -165, Glover Teixeira +145 for Corey Anderson. On to...
You say Teixeira has more power than Corey?
Yes.
I have it the other way. Woo! You hear Run that, one. UFC? Can Run you get one. Him to that punching machine and let's see what the haps are on this?
Going to the main event. This is a theme here. We profiled it for like four fights in a row. Really old guy against a guy who's not so old, but definitely a really old, longtime fighter. We got legend Mauricio Shogun Hua coming in against Anthony Lion Smith. Smith, 29-13, a longtime veteran at 23 years old, against one of the most veteran of all time, 36-year-old, 25-10. Shogun Hua coming off of a 3-fight winning streak. Those last three fights being the Jean Valente, no chin, Rodrigo Nogueira, no chin, Corey Anderson, split decision in his last three, but losing to the likes of Dan Henderson as well, and also OSP because of that. Shogun might be a little chinny. Those last three fighters he fought were, I feel like, really well tabler made for Shogun to get the win. They were winnable fights, where with Anthony Smith in his second run in the UFC here, really seen his...
If Hua has a good showing here, he's fighting for the title.
Immediately. I think that either one of these guys at 85 is fighting for the title. Whoever wins off of this. Because Shogun on a 3-5 winning streak in a 185 division, who it's been a little lacking in the top division. Are they at 205? My bad, 205. It is lacking with all of them moving to heavyweight and talking about heavyweight instead of...
I don't think so. I think whoever wins this fight fights...
DZ?
Olenek.
No, Olenek's got to fight.
Does he? Yeah, DC's not fighting anyone else at 205 ever again.
Exactly. So, Anthony Smith last beating Rashad Evans. That's a little iffy. Everyone could see that coming. Rashad Evans, not what he once was. But losing to Thiago Santos 5 months prior to that in a brawl. Beating Hector Lombard as well. And I would say that Hector Lombard is his coming out fight. Even though Hector is also a shell of himself, Anthony Smith showed good takedown defense, okay head movement. He does get hit a bit more than I like, relies on that chin, and
How was Hector Lombard,
they were fighting at 205. I thought it was at 185. I thought you were...
They could have been at 185 for those, for Hector. Huh. Or it could have been at 205.
It could have been. I don't know enough about these guys.
But either way, yeah, the last one was at 80, or at 205 for Rashad Evans. Lion Smith is a heavy favorite for a reason, and it all is because, striking-wise, Anthony Smith had tons more power, can eat a few shots before he gets out of there. Thiago Santos really had to lay it on him with heavy-duty shots. Shogun has a lot of power, but not Santos type of power. So I see Anthony Smith eating a few shots, maybe getting into round two, but I really like the TKO round one potentially. Again, this is more of a fade on Hua than anything. I, like we were saying with Struve and multiple other fighters, every time I see Shogun in there, I'm like, oh, please don't hit him in the face anymore. He's had enough. Leave Shogun alone. So I got Anthony Smith TKO round number one. I'm going to probably put it everywhere, but I think a lot of people are in the same boat I am.
I am nervous about that pick because I don't think Anthony Smith can lay a whole bunch of points unless it's a knockout. And can Hua's experience totally crush this kid inside the octagon? This is a 5-round fight. He beat Rashad Evans. Not that it's... I think Hua was better than Rashad Evans.
And I then think he needs to bounce better, actually.
And Thiago Santos... He lost to Thiago Santos. And Thiago's a solid guy. He's up there in it. I would, if Thiago was fighting Hua, I wouldn't... I'd probably go with Santos. Santos
easy, right?
Hector Lombard... That anyone can KO Hector Lombard at this point. I don't know. And also, Hua, is he coming out of Brazil? Is this the same stuff we have to worry about? Does Hua submit guys, or is he just a knockout guy? Is he going to have to worry about any jiu-jitsu or anything? I don't know. I'm nervous about this. I think Hua can play this smart, and I don't think Anthony Smith has ever been in deep waters.
This is a 5-rounder.
I don't know what he's going to do with it. I think everyone that's jumping on the Smith bandwagon is a little crazy, and not that I'm not either, but he just hasn't done enough. This is a big step, but he has to go through Hua to get to the, you know, cream of the crop at the top. That's a big ask. I don't know. It's weird. I've seen it's who has turned things around in such a time, and he looked good in the Corey Anderson fight, and I think Corey Anderson has killer power. Weird. Killer power. Didn't Corey Anderson fight at 185? Everybody up here, everyone we're talking about fought at 185. Yeah,
everybody's moved around a few times, or they moved down. That's where I'm wondering,
is Corey Anderson a little less chinny at 205 because he's not so dehydrated? And can same be said about Hua. I do think Anthony Smith is huge for this. I don't know, I'm more nervous about this. I'm just going to stick with another underdog. I got Hua decision.
Wow, huge underdog. Lesbo's looking to make a shit ton of money tonight, because if even two of your underdogs hit, you're going to be cruising. You're going to be Scrooge McDuck and diving into a pot of gold. Who knows?
I could change it, but I'm still... I'm trying to... If I'm not really feeling the cards, if they're... These are just messy cards to me. When the cards look like this, where I'm looking at it and half the guys on the card, I'm like, I didn't even know they fought in the UFC, either anymore or ever before. And yeah. I think it's just a messy card, so...
Do we have 2 weeks in a row where it's like, hey, don't put tons of money on these? Because there was a lot of underdogs last weekend for a reason, because it looked like a sketched out night. This is sketchy for another reason. We are seeing that those guys that are barely holding on to contracts, in my point of view.
I thought I had a lot of underdogs last week, and I did better than most of the people.
That is a good point. That is a good point. $8,700 for Anthony Smith against $7,500 for Hua. Minus 240 favorite Anthony Smith.
I like plus Anthony 200. Smith, but I just haven't jumped on his bandwagon yet. A Rashad Evans beatdown isn't enough for me.
So do we have a Les Dog for this week? I don't know if we agreed with too many.
I think it's Brennan Schaub. I think Brennan Schaub's the underdog pick of the week. It's not just about money. Sometimes it's about happiness. That's what Brennan said, because he's like, I know you're worth $450 million. See, already that stuff's more interesting than this card. That's horrible. I can't wait to watch these guys fight. I'm glad it's a Sunday morning. It'll be nice with my coffee. Thanks for listening again.
Les Bo the Bean!
Thanks for listening to Let Be. For all things Lesbo and the Bean, head over to lesboandthebean.com or follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.